Next, we will have our scripture reading, and Jacob will read it for us today. It's in the book of Romans, chapter 12, verse 1 through 8.
Today's scripture is from Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all of the members have the same function, so we who are many are one body in Christ, and individually we are members of one another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Prophecy and appropriation to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning.
Good morning.
So I start a new sermon series, and it's about the gifts that we receive from the Holy Spirit. And if you remember, a couple of years ago, I did a similar sermon series, but it was based on the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit are charity, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, generosity, gentleness, faithfulness, modesty, self-control, and chastity. These 12 fruits of the Spirit are qualities that we as Christians should all have to become full and mature Christians. But they are different from the gifts of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit are certain gifts that God gives each and every one of us. He might give one the gift of prophecy and another a gift of teaching. So we don't have all of the gifts, but we are given one or two or maybe even three of the gifts to enable for us to fulfill the mission of the church. So for the next few Sundays, we're going to look at these gifts of the Spirit. And as you learn about them, see if one of them is something that you have, a gift that you have received by God, given through the Holy Spirit, that you can use to fulfill the mission of the church. Let us pray first. Gracious and loving Father, I ask that you guide my words, that they reflect your will and your wisdom, that you know the thoughts we hold in our hearts, that these thoughts be pure and true and acceptable in your sight. For Lord, you are our creator, our redeemer, and our sustainer. Amen. So I heard a story a few years ago about a cargo truck that was stuck under a freeway overpass. The truck, I guess, had often gone under this freeway overpass, but for some reason, over time, the freeway, with the weight of the cars above, the overpass sunk a little bit more. So finally, one day, when the truck was driving through the overpass, the first part of the truck, the cab, where the driver sits, went through fine. But the last part of the truck, where the cargo was, the high-raised cargo truck, got stuck under that freeway overpass. And it was stuck. It would not budge. It would not move. Soon, cars got stuck behind that truck. No one could pass that truck to continue on the freeway. So the truck driver first called the police, seeing maybe the police could help him maneuver the cars around and he could try to get the truck out. The police came, they tried to maneuver other cars to make room, but nothing worked and the truck was still stopped. Then the truck driver called other truck drivers to see if they could help offer suggestions of how to get the truck unstuck from the freeway overpass. Other truck drivers came, they tried pushing the truck from behind, they tried pulling the cab from the front with their trucks, but nothing worked. The truck remained stuck under that freeway overpass. So finally they said, well, maybe we can call the manufacturer, the Peterbilt company that made that truck. And they called the manufacturer, and the manufacturer looked at, you know, diagrams of the truck and logistics of how it was made, and they still couldn't offer a solution of how to get that truck unstopped. They finally called the engineers that designed the freeway, and the engineers from the county came out and they examined the freeway. They examined the truck that was stuck under the freeway. They said, well, maybe if we try to lower one pillar or make something on the road more even, maybe that would work. And they tried all these things and nothing worked. The truck was still stuck, and the truck had been stuck for hours, and cars had been lined up behind the truck, stuck behind the truck. No one was moving. Until finally the story goes that a little girl in one of the cars stuck behind the truck came forward, and this little 12-year-old girl said, you know, at home, when my bicycle tires get flat, my bicycle is lower. Why don't we let the air out of the tires? And they let the air out of the tires, and the truck lowered enough so it could drive out and was no longer stuck. This little 12-year-old girl solved the problem of this truck that had been stuck for hours by offering a simple solution. In her wisdom and in her experience, she, not the engineers, not the police officers, not other truck drivers, but this little girl, solved the problem and helped the truck become unstuck. Now, we in the church, we in a way have a problem to solve, and that is, how do we help our brothers and sisters in this world know the love of Christ? For Christ gave us this great commission to go out into the world and make disciples of Jesus Christ, baptizing them in the name of the Lord, teaching them, and letting them know the love of God. But the problem has become how to do that. And this is not a new problem. When the new church began after that wonderful day of Pentecost, the disciples and the other followers sat around trying to figure out how to do that. And then this wonderful thing happened, as we see in this morning's passage from Paul. He reminds them to be united as one body in Christ. But he also says that we, each person, has been given a special gift by the Spirit. This spiritual gift that will enable them to fulfill the mission, to go out and make the disciples and to share the good news. The author, Kevin Hempels, defines the spiritual gift as an individual manifestation of grace from the Father that enables us to serve Him and play a vital role in His plan for redemption for the world. What a wonderful definition of a spiritual gift, a manifestation of grace from God the Father, a gift of grace that will enable us to serve God our Father and to play a vital role in His plan for the saving of the world. This wonderful manifestation of the gift of grace, it is given through the Holy Spirit. They say you feel the Holy Spirit in you when you are teaching. You should feel the Holy Spirit moving within you when you are being prophetic and sharing the good news, or when you are offering service to another person using one of these gifts of the Holy Spirit. We each have one, or maybe two, or one at one time, but one at another time in our life, or maybe even three at once. But these are all different gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to the people. We see in this morning's passage from Romans 12, verses 6 to 8, it says that we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. Gifts of prophecy in proportion to faith, gifts of ministry in ministering, gifts of teacher in teaching, gifts of the exhorter in exhortation, of the giver in generosity, of the leader in diligence, of compassionate in cheerfulness. These seven gifts are prophecy, serving, teaching, exhortation, giving, leadership, and mercy. And next week I'll have those gifts listed on a piece of paper in a fun little spiritual gift inventory that we can take and see what you come up with, which gift you tend to lean more towards. But here's a short summary of each gift. The gift of prophecy is being able to proclaim the word of God, but not just proclaim it, but proclaim it boldly, to say it in your own language, to share your faith. This gift helps build up the body and helps lead people to stray, to go away from sin. And this gift manifests itself in preaching and in teaching and in various forms. The gift of service is for those who like helping the church. You see, there is a practical need for the church and for people in this world, and you joyfully give assistance to the people's needs. In this gift, you often work behind the scenes, and you don't mind that because you know you are giving service to the church. There is also the gift of teaching. Teaching means instructing the members of the church, telling about the doctrines and the word of God, building up and unifying the body of Christ. You can teach through Bible study, to faith sharing, through devotions, through reflections. There are many ways you can use the gift of teaching. There is also the gift of exhortation. This gift means you are very encouraging of other members. You find ways to help people be involved. You are like a cheerleader. You are very enthusiastic about the Lord. Members with this gift become good counselors, good motivators, and they also themselves help preach or teach or do other activities in ministry. There's also the gift of giving, where members of this gift are ones who give freely and wholly of their time, of service, of funds and monies to the church. You give freely and you even help others, motivate others to give freely as well to do the work and mission of the church. There's also the gift of leadership, and leadership means you are aiding the body with your own skills of directing, of making decisions, of helping people to accomplish goals of the church together. Leadership motivates people to work together for unity of the common goals. And the last gift, the gift of mercy, for this gift you have cheerful acts of compassion. People with this gift, they help aid the body. They also empathize well with those who are hurting within the body. They show God's love and mercy by their care, whether it's pastoral visits, whether it's prayers. They do all these things to help unify the church as well. These seven gifts are gifts from the Holy Spirit that we hopefully each and every one of us possess, one or two or three, or one this time and maybe another time in your life you know another gift was more prevalent in your life. But we should all possess at least one of these gifts, because we are many parts of the body but must act together as one to survive as a church. So you might wonder then, why are these gifts so important? And we remember the passage from this morning where Paul first tells the people of Rome, where he is writing this letter to them. In Romans 12, verses 1 to 2, he says to the people, "I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect." Paul tells the people to be a holy and living sacrifice. Paul is remembering the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross for us and encouraging the people to be holy and living. Now we have to understand a little bit of Bible history, what happened in society and culture back then. In the Old Testament times, the times of the Hebrew and Jewish people, sacrifice meant a different thing. Sacrifice meant bringing an animal to the altar, an animal that was most likely unclean until it was blessed by the rabbis or the priests or the Pharisees. And this unclean animal was not made holy until it received a blessing. And the unclean animal was also killed before it was brought to the altar. So the sacrifice of Old Testament biblical times used to be an unclean and dead animal brought before God. But we know as Christians that Jesus Christ died for our sins. He made us holy. He made us clean. His blood was shed so that we may be clean and holy. So this New Testament idea of sacrifice that Paul is reminding the people of is to present themselves holy, true, sin-free, loving God fully with their whole hearts, and also clean, living a life where they do not hurt one another, where they do not sin against neighbor, where they do not take God's name in vain, but living a clean and pure Christian life. So Paul is reminding his brothers and sisters and the people of Rome to present themselves as a holy and living sacrifice. And we know what the word sacrifice means when you sacrifice yourself on behalf of another person, when you are willing to give up certain things in order to fulfill a mission. So Paul is saying, do these things so that you will not be conformed to this world, but transformed by the world instead. If we conform to the world as it currently is, we are in danger of losing our souls. When you think about all that has been happening in this world, especially this past week, we hear about the shootings of black persons, based maybe on their color, or maybe just based on bad decisions made by police officers. We also hear about the shooting of police officers who were doing their job but shot by a person who has hatred in their heart. We do not want to conform to this kind of world. They say that in 2015 alone, police killed more than 100 unarmed black persons. We hear about the names in the news that have been in the news recently about Alton Sterling and Fernando Castile, but do we hear about the others that died under police violence? About a man named Keith Childress who lived in Las Vegas, a woman named Betty Jones who lived in Chicago and left three children, another woman named Tiara Thomas who lived in Portage, Indiana, or a man named Richard Perkins from Oakland in California itself. There are hundreds of names through the years of violence that have happened based on skin color. We don't want to conform to that kind of world. And we know there is the saying that Black lives matter, but we also must remember that all lives matter. We are all children of God. And when we know we are all brothers and sisters with each other, we can be transformed in Christ's love. For a brother does not hurt a brother. A sister does not shoot or kill a sister. We take care of each other. We build each other in God's love. That is what Paul is reminding the early disciples as they are starting the new church, to build each other in love, to not conform to the hatred that had been happening in the world. For at the time that the early church was beginning, the new Christians were being prosecuted. They were being arrested when they could. They had to meet secretly in some homes. If they were found worshiping Christ or remembering God's acts for them, they were sometimes put in prison, or even worse, they were put to death. They were being persecuted. And Paul is reminding the people to not be conformed to that world of fear and hatred, but instead to talk about God's love. And he reminds them that they will not be doing it alone, for they will be received gifts from the Holy Spirit. The gifts of prophecy, the gifts of serving, and the gifts of teaching, and the gifts of our exhortation, the gifts of giving, and the gifts of leadership, the gifts of mercy. And Paul tells them that they must do this together as one body in Christ. For we know, like a physical body, each part of the body is just as important as the other part. Our physical body, our heart cannot survive without our brain. Our lungs cannot survive without our hands and feet. There's all these things that are knit together to make one body, to be unified. And we as Christians today are called to be unified as well. But take heart and know that we are given gifts to help us to be unified, to help us carry out the mission of the church. And one of these gifts that I'll talk about shortly, briefly, is the gift of prophecy. The gift of prophecy is proclaiming the word of God boldly, to know your story, to proclaim the word of God to others. This helps build up the body of the church. It manifests itself in preaching and in teaching in other ways. I share one example of someone who was a great prophetic voice, Reverend Mickey Oruru. She was one of the first English ministry ministers here. I know her time here was very short in the early 80s, and I know there was some conflict that happened when Reverend Mickey was here. But do you know her backstory? The stole I am wearing, this beautiful Japanese-style stole, was actually one of Reverend Mickey's. I had the honor of being one of four female Asian pastors this past Saturday officiating her funeral service. And as a gift, her family members let us keep her stoles. So this is the one that I chose and was blessed and honored to keep, and I thought it was fitting as I start my sixth year here to wear this beautiful stole this morning. But Reverend Mickey's story is a unique story. She had six children, five of them living adults now. Her third child, a young boy named Rudy, died at age 2 of cancer. And Reverend Mickey shares that when her son Rudy died, she was inconsolable. She lost hope, she was crying, she barely was able to care for her other two children. She didn't know what to do. And then she said one night when she was crying in her bed, she saw an image of her son Rudy, an infant 2-year-old, floating in the corner of her room. And she said she didn't see the face of God, but she knew that God was there with Rudy, surrounding Rudy with his love. And she saw an image of not just Rudy, but Rudy surrounded by other children in heaven, Rudy playing and cheering and having fun and loving and being loved with other children in heaven. So it's this wonderful story about Reverend Mickey seeing Rudy and knowing that there is a God and God loves all and heaven is available for all if we love God back. And she then decided to commit her life to the church. She didn't right away go into ordained ministry, but she became very active in her Japanese American church, doing all that she could. And finally, she could not resist the call that God had given her, and she went to seminary. And her travels in seminary were not so easy. By then, she was a mother of 5 children. By then, she no longer had the support of her husband, and they were separated. So she attended seminary in Boston University, and at her funeral service, one of her children, a grown adult male now, He said growing up they were poor, but his mother made it so they never realized they were poor. In their house, he said their couch was boxes and foam pillows. Their dining room table was two milk crates with a piece of board covering the top of it. And he said they only had one chair in their house, a chair that Reverend Mickey, his mom, found on the street. But it was missing one leg, so she cut off the other three legs, and the chair was just flat on the ground, sort of a Japanese-style way of sitting. But they never realized they were poor. She filled the house with these things and with her love. And she used her prophetic voice to talk about ministry, to talk about how she was called by God to serve, to talk about God's love for her son Rudy in heaven and for the people on earth who were alive. She had a way of proclaiming the word of God that was bold and faithful, and she had many wonderful years of ministry, even up to the last few days of her life. So I wonder about Reverend Mickey and the prophetic voice that she has and how she used this gift she received from the Spirit to help unify the church, to help fulfill the mission of the church, and remind us that we each have received a gift or two or more from the Holy Spirit. So for the next few Sundays, we will think about these gifts and see which one you have and ways that you can help the ministry of the church as you fulfill the mission, whether it's through prophecy, through serving, through teaching, through exhortation, through giving, through leadership, or mercy. We all are together as one body, united in Christ. Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for creating us, for forming us in our mother's wombs, for bringing life to us. And so thankful for the call that you have for each and every one of us to serve you faithfully, Lord, and to serve the church. We know our mission is to make disciples and to help build the church up. We are so thankful for the gift of the Holy Spirit and the gifts that the Holy Spirit brings, for prophecy, for serving, for teaching, for exhortation, for giving, for leadership, and mercy. We ask, Lord, that we are able to identify the gift that we have been given in each and every one of us, that we may fully serve you, Lord, your church, and your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. We go now into our time of communion together, and if we could have the microphone. Christ the Lord invites to his table all who love him and earnestly repent of their sins and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your law. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray, free us for joyful obedience, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Glory to God.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right and good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You formed us in your image and breathed the breath of life when we turned away and our love failed. Your love remains steadfast. And so, with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn.
Holy, 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 God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord, Hosanna in the highest.
Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of the suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. He commissioned us to be his witnesses to the ends of the earth and to make disciples of all nations, and today his family and all the world joining at his holy table. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, the Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." When the supper was over, he took the cup, gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. As we proclaim together the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ is risen, Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here, and on these gifts of bread and wine. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. Renew our communion with your church throughout the world, and strengthen it in every nation and among every people to witness faithfully in your name. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. We invite you forward now to receive the bread and body of Christ. The body and blood of Christ. Come, as this is the body of Christ given to you, we will take it gratefully and our lives be consecrated to the Lord. Together we say, Amen.
Living with you, I made my decision. In the palm of your hand, and I
Let us pray together our Lord's Prayer, as His Son Jesus Christ taught us to pray. Our Father,
Will the ushers come forward and please rise for the doxology? Please rise for the doxology. Father, we thank you for transforming our lives. We thank you for blessing us with a roof over our heads, food to eat, jobs and school to go to each day. We thank you for our friends and family. And most of all, Lord, we thank you for sending your Son Jesus to die for us so that we can have eternal life. We know that there are many people in our community and in the world who do not know you. We pray that you will use a portion of the blessings that you have given us so that those in the community and those in the world will know your saving grace of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. We have a number of announcements in our bulletin. This coming Saturday will be the beginning of our VBS. It's themed Ocean Commotion, so we hope that if you have children that they will be able to come. So see Susan or see Joanna if you haven't signed up already, your children. There's also United Methodist Dodger Night, so if you're interested in going, please see Vince so you can order a ticket from him and pay him. And next we will have our... I apologize, we do have a visitor today. And her name is Miranda. Miranda, do you mind standing? So, let's greet her. She's from New York, and she's here for a year studying. So thank you for joining us, Miranda. Any other announcements? Okay, if not, Jean is going to have a sharing of the annual conference.
I know we're running out of time, but I want to make it very brief than what I really planned for. Not all of this, but I just want to say that it's a privilege to go to these meetings. This is where the laws and of our how we run our Methodist church is put together. And they have really streamlined the process. If you've never attended, do try to go and see this. It's a 3-day event that you'll just be immortalized by all the processes that goes on. And what I do want to highlight, some things that really happened there. Their theme was basically "Therefore Go," which came from the actual annual, the general conference that we have every 4 years that really sets in motion of the changes of the United Methodist Church. So through our annual conference, we present resolutions and recommendations and all that through the system that goes up to the general conference. So from the general conference, there was a theme that they had. It's called "Therefore Go." And what their theme basically refers to is in a paper that I'm going to be handing out later. It's a message from the bishop. It was a message that the councils of bishop was mandated to say or to work on within the next 2 years, is to work on the issue about homosexuality and you know, basically rights that has been a controversy throughout our Methodist system. So I want to, Lucy has a paper. If you would limit to like one per family, at least start reading that, be in conversation, keep this in mind and with a bishop, because we all want to pray about what's happening, because we all want to be unified in how we treat each other. And Lucy, could you just pass one to each? Oh, it's going around. If you could, yeah, limit to one family. I don't have too many copies right now, but anyway, basically that was the basic thing. But what I also at the conference, our annual conference, we did vote on a. It's time to elect another bishop, and so a name was brought forward and voted on, and his name was what was his name? Robert Wolf.
Frank Wolf.
Yes, I. And actually, he was a. He came out to say that basically he was gay, okay? So everyone was kind of satisfied with that, but again, we have to look into our heart. What makes them so different from us? And if we are not very comfortable with it, we need to search deeper in ourselves, and maybe conversations shall be going further as we continue on. But anyway, one other thing that... which I wasn't quite satisfied with. They had another resolution that they wanted our bishop of this conference, Bishop Minerva Cano. Anyway, they mandated her to start appointing a council of people to listen to these issues. And they're supposed to do this by August 1st, which is really a really hard thing to do at this time. And it gives such a short notice. I voted against it, but it was overwhelmed by the no vote. So that's coming forward. And let's see, is there one thing? Okay, well, I will let you know more. Oh, there are some new rules regarding for the SPRC about benefits for the pastors and things like this that are coming up, so do take a look at those resolutions. On the paper that I'm passing out to you, on the back it has the website that you can look at some of more detailed information that happened at the annual conference as to what resolutions passed, and you can go over that. So check out the website. Thank you.
Thank you, Jean, for the report and for representing our church. Jean Kwan, along with Winston Chan, were our lay members to annual conference. Jean actually will be gone next Sunday, but she'll be back again afterwards, so you can ask her more questions if you have. For time, I'm going to give the benediction now. We'll have to skip our last hymn, but I offer these words of benediction for you, that the Lord bless you and the Lord keep you, that the face of Jesus Christ continue to shine upon you, and that you be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Now we can. Oh. Amen.